Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 316.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 316. I am amped for today. Very, very excited. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of jazzpianoschool.com, Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. I truly, truly appreciate it. I have an amazing episode for you today. This one's special. This one's really special. It's the very, This is the very first time I've ever done this. The very, very first time. It took me 316 episodes. I do not know why I didn't do this sooner. Call me crazy. Yes, I tend to think I do have good business ideas, but clearly I am human and I should have done this years ago. But what I've done today is I've brought on a student that is currently in my live accelerator program and has actually experienced so many amazing results from the first, six to eight weeks. I have to go back and check that exactly. I just don't remember off the top of my head right now. But 6 to 8 weeks, he's experienced dramatic, drastic change in his playing. He upgraded to my mastermind, so he's going to be actually continuing to study with me for 9 months. So he's doing the accelerator program, and then he's going to upgrade and move into my inner circle mastermind. And he's a fantastic person. And what you're going to get from this podcast is you're going to hear from a fellow jazz piano enthusiast who is pursuing jazz piano just like you, right? This person is just like you. Mike is like a complete beginner, brand new, honestly, to jazz piano. He had a little bit of piano experience, but like barely, right? And you're going to hear about his story. You're going to hear about the struggles that he had trying to learn jazz piano, what he tried, what didn't work, and ultimately, what has really, really propelled his playing forward in such a short amount of time, right? The things that he was doing with me to just create this drastic level up, this exponential growth in just 6 to 8 weeks, like the things that I was giving him as opposed to the things he was trying before. Now, these nuggets are essentially gold, and I don't know why I didn't do this sooner. I should have done it. Like I said, call me crazy, but I'm going to continuously bring more students on because I think it's really, really important for students to hear from other students. And one of the most powerful things that the students in my live programs get from the community, obviously the lesson plans and the teaching and the group calls and all the events that go on in my live program, they're fantastic, but pursuing jazz piano or any hobby for that matter in life can feel very, very isolating. It can feel very difficult. It can make students feel very insecure, doubtful, and kind of crappy, to be honest with you, right? Have you ever felt like that? I know I have many times. I've literally felt unworthy of a person, like being a human being that was able to play this craft. Like I was like, I'm the problem. I'm the reason. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. It's me. I was not born to do this. That's a sad thing, right? That's a sad thing. And for some of us, for you that are listening, right? I know how much of a passion this can be for people because, like, look at me. I mean, look at my life. It's centered around jazz piano. I didn't know, I wasn't just like dipping my toe in the water when I first heard my first jazz album, right? When I first heard Oscar Peterson play with Itzhak Perlman on this weird album that they made called Side by Side. When I heard that, I wasn't like, oh yeah, I'll try jazz piano. I'll try that out. No. There was a movement in my soul, in my being, that was like, I need to learn how to do that. Because I want that feeling. I want to be able to create that feeling that I got when listening to the album. I want to be able to create that and do it for myself and play and express myself through this amazing craft of jazz, which gives us the ability to freely move about and choose what we want to play. It's literally the art of expressing ourselves through music in a free way, right? It's the most amazing, it's like such an amazing craft, right? It's so great. So I knew I wanted it. And I know there's people out there listening to me right now that feel the same way I do, feel the same drive, feel the same determination, feel the same tenacity about going after their abilities to improve and accomplish their goal, but they're struggling. You might be struggling and you might be doubting that you have the ability to get there. And I'm here to tell you, after so many years of teaching, after my own journey, my own story, anyone on the face of the earth can do this. Anyone on the face of the earth can do this. It's about the type of education you get. It's about the order of education that you get. And it's about your own discipline to take that education, work hard at it, practice it, and get better. Now, if you're practicing the wrong type of education a lot and in the wrong order, guess what? You're going to go very far in the wrong direction, right? There's two things that you need to get from point A to point B. Let's say you're sailing on an ocean and you want to get to another point, destination, right? Well, you need power. You want to get there as fast as you can. Well, let's say you want to get there as fast as you can. You need power to move, right? And what else do you need? You need navigation. You need a map. You need to know what direction you're going. Now, so many students, there's two combinations of students, right? There's two types of students. There's students that lack the power and the navigation, so they don't really go anywhere. There's some students that have the determination and the discipline, like myself, in life, and they can go fast, but they don't know where to go. So we'll try one thing, and they go very fast, but like they're 50 degrees off course, right? So they're going very fast in the wrong direction, and they're like, why aren't I getting to the place that I want to be at, right? If you go onto YouTube or other educational websites, that education from those areas, they might not be what you need. Those roadmaps, the maps, the navigation you're following, you may be going fast, but in a wrong direction that's not meant for you, right? So, and then, fortunately for Mike, he had both. He had the correct course that I charted for him. He was very disciplined, very determined, right? Had a lot of resilience to practice hard, and he just shot straight to the course. Now, again, I've only been working with Mike for about 6 to 8 weeks, and he's going to do 9 months with me. So he's made all this progress, and we still have about a little more than seven months left. Can you believe that? So anyway, he has a fantastic story. I'm going to continuously bring more guests on from the Jazz Piano School membership area, from my live programs, because I want to talk and highlight certain students, not certain students, just all students. I want to highlight all students that are pursuing the craft, and I want you to hear that you're not alone. I want you to hear that everyone, all of us are struggling, and it's a hard thing to do. It's not just you. It's you. Trust me, you are not the issue. You are not the problem, okay? Just please, please, please remember that. No matter how much you think it's you, like you, it's just me. I just can't do this. I'm the reason. It's not you. It's not you. Please just remember that, all right? So let's get into this interview. You're going to hear some great things, some great nuggets. Mike says we're going to play the videos of his before video and after video too. And like a lot of the talk about his progress that he's made, what's been working on, what's been working for him, what hasn't been working on for him. Fantastic. Listen all the way through. I know you're going to love this. Here we go. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast, episode number 316. As you can see here, we have a very special guest with us, Michael Griffith. Mike Griffith, thank you so much for being here. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me, Brendan. How's everything going? Good.
Absolutely. Very good. It's a beautiful day here in Sacramento. The wind is blowing, not too hot, so it's going very well. I have brought Mike on to the podcast. This is the very first time I've ever done this, actually. So Mike, you're like the very first student I've ever done this. I don't know why I didn't do it before, and I like to kind of, I pride myself on like making good, decent business decisions, but like someone should have been like, you should have done this years ago, you know? But the reason I wanted to bring Mike on was because he has made dramatic progress, drastic progress, massive amounts of progress in about 10 weeks, give or take. And he's part of my new accelerator program that just started running this year. And everything's been going so well for him that he actually has upgraded into my Inner Circle Mastermind as well, which he'll be continuing on with me for another 6 months after the 3 months program is over. So I really want all the students to hear from you, Mike, hear about what you've been doing, what has led to your progress, your results, your background, obviously. But first, I kind of just want to give, like, paint a picture of who you are. And I'm going to kind of rapid fire some questions at you. And I want students to kind of just get a feel for like who Mike is, right? Are you a magician?
No, I'm not.
Do you have superpowers?
No, I just have I have willpower. That's all I got.
You have willpower. Okay. So you're not some sort of like savant or anything like that, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm an idiot, but not an idiot. So
what do you do for work?
I'm an accountant.
Okay. And so how much work would you say you do, like throughout the week? Is that constantly, or kind of, are you work from home?
I work from home, which makes it where I won't go into a long spiel because I could go on for ages about this, but because I work from home, I'm able to work even more for the job, and they take full advantage. So I probably work about 50 to 60 hours per week for the job.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. Yes. It's funny how that working from home works. You know, it's like, oh, I get to work from home. Oh, wait, now I can just work all the time.
Yeah, man.
Okay, cool. And do you live at home? Do you have a partner? Like,
I live at home. I don't have a partner. I'm single, which might be part of it's gonna go into why I can practice so much. But yeah, I live in an apartment in Alameda, California. So, you know, about 2 hours south of Sacramento, right? Yep. It's Oakland, about 2 hours south.
Yep, not too far. Yep. Yeah, just trying to paint a picture. You know, I'll probably get some students on here that have like crazy family lives, you know, kids, things like that, but that's cool. And what do you like to do for fun? Like, besides jazz piano, like what interests would you do if you're like?
Yeah, I work out about 3 or 4 times per week.
Okay.
Really, I just, my life isn't that exciting right now. I like to watch anime. My side passion out of nowhere is Japanese. I like learning Japanese.
Nice.
Really, that's pretty much it. You know, listening to music, a minimal social life, but really not too much going on. I'm just saying.
All right. So, awesome. I mean, you got work. I just want, you know, you're not just like obsessively practicing 10 hours a day. Clearly you have other things to do in life. You know, you got a job, you have other interests, you know, you're getting out, I'm sure you're going for meals, dinner, drinks, meet up with friends, whatever it is. Cool. Let's hear about your musical background just a little bit, because you do have some prior experience in music, not jazz piano, but in music and just that genre in general. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about
you know, your background in music and piano and things like that, and just where, how you kind of got to this place.
Yeah, definitely. So I took piano from the ages of, I want to say 8 to 13. You know, it's the usual classical Suzuki method, you know, learning those basic Bach songs, you know, those very simple melodies, which were pretty cool. But I absolutely hated it. My brother and I, my mother would drag us to practice, or drag us to the lessons, and they would force us to practice, and we didn't take it serious at all. So we weren't nearly as good as we should have been. I say we, because my brother and I were basically the same thing. Our biggest accomplishment was that we played a duet of The Entertainer by Scott Joplin. That was pretty good, but I just played the melody. My brother played the bass, but so that was pretty much it. So after 13, I'm 43 now. Stopped playing piano at the age of 13, and then I started back again when I was 39. And I've been playing for about 4 years now. For the first 3 years, I just played nothing but classical. Really got into it, man, like Chopin and all these cats, man, Schumann. I really appreciated their brilliance. And so I really got into the classical music. I think the highest level I got, I forgot what those ABRSM scores, I got to a number 8 on that level, which is, I played Chopin's first nocturne pretty decently, and the second nocturne. So just to kind of let you know where I was with classical piano. And then that's after that, I was like, okay, it's time to learn jazz. So that's when I started with your program. But before I go into that, I'm leaping back to my true musical interest since I was a kid. Since I was about 8 years old, I've been rapping. What really inspired me was a movie called Rappin' with Mario Van Peebles, also LL Cool J stuff, Run DMC. So I started rapping when I was 8. I rapped, I guess I'm just always a rapper, so I never really stopped. When I was about 18, I started making like little local albums with my buddy. You know, I was just the MC. And then we moved to New York when I was 27. Really made some noise on the underground scene there, to the point where some of the producers and rappers I listened to growing up out in Ohio were like, hey, I know you. You're the guy who did this song. I was like, oh, shoot. So that's just kind of give you a background. You know, I wasn't as good as I would like to have been, but people actually liked it. So I like to believe I did pretty well in that. And so, yeah, so about what got me, and sorry if I'm rambling, you can cut me off at any time.
You're good. Keep going. Yeah.
But what got me into piano was with rapping. I just felt limited because it was like, okay, I can say anything I want through words, but sometimes I want the right tune underneath me. And I, you know, you can only rely on other producers so much. I had some of the best producers working with me, but I could never get them to give me exactly what I wanted to express, what I felt. So that's what made me get back into piano initially. But then I think the piano journey itself just took on a mind of its own. So it kind of unlinked itself from hip hop. So going back to piano, I did classical for the first 3 years. Then I was like, man, I want to learn how to play jazz violins. Cause I like Bill Evans, Duke Jordan. I was like, I want to play like these cats. So that's when I found your course. You have a course called Just Playing Ballads, right? I just Googled how to play a piano ballad because I had not found a teacher just to give that to me from the ground up, or an online teacher. So that's when I joined your program. And you taught it so well. And I learned so much in such a short period of time from the way you taught ballads. I was like, man, let me join this cat's his piano program. And so I joined your jazz piano school. And, you know, I was going through what are they called? The levels. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I was going through those, and I started off at level 2, and I got to level 4. And I remember I was making great progress, but then I was trying to play a song for somebody, And I just had so many missing pieces. And that's when I thought, like, okay, maybe I should have done what he asked me to do in that level two. Because I would just skip through them because I wanted to get through it. And so then it was like magic. This is where the magician part comes in. Maybe I'm a magician. Right then, it was that same weekend. That's when you sent out that email saying that you're going to do the accelerator and the master, the inner circle programs. I was like, hell yeah, man, this is perfect because this will actually hold me accountable. And so that's how I ended up here. I don't know if any of that made sense. I just kind of ran.
Yeah. It's a great story. So, yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, you've been involved in music. You've been listening to music your whole life. But when did you get turned on to jazz? Like, when did your ears pick it up? Like, has it been kind of like a process, or was it like there one moment that you remember where you're like, oh, man, I really want to learn jazz because of this or something like that?
Man, that's a good. So it's like my father and mother, they listened to jazz ever since I was a kid.
Okay.
In terms of wanting to play, man, that's a good. Oh, I know what it was. It was when I got back into piano, and I remember I was like, okay, classical is cool, but I wonder if I should learn jazz. And so I just started messing around on YouTube, looking up random jazz songs, and then you know the YouTube does the autoplay thing, and My Favorite Things by John Coltrane came on. And I remember listening to that, like, man, I've never heard the song played in this way. And it's like, what is it that's really making it so good? And it was McCoy Tyner. And it was like, my gosh, that was the moment that I was like, I got to play jazz piano, because just the way he just made that song sound like nothing else, right? Like no other version was what turned me on to it.
Awesome. Cool. And when you took lessons as a child, so like, that was just kind of basic piano. So you had some basic piano underneath your fingers for about like a couple years, right? 3 or 4 years, you said?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
When you picked piano back up at 39, were you taking lessons of any sort? Were you just trying to kind of teach yourself and play the nocturnes yourself?
No, I didn't. I just taught myself. I started off just relearning everything that I learned as a kid. And then went through that pretty quickly. And I was teaching myself for about a year and a half. And then I was trying to play Mozart's Albuquerque, and my fingers were hurt. And it was like, okay, I'm clearly doing something wrong. So then I started working with a dude out of Berkeley who started giving me classical music lessons. He did not know jazz at all. In fact, when I asked him any music there, he would always say, that's not my thing. I can just show you how to interpret classical music correctly. So,
gotcha. Mm-hmm. And did you study jazz? Did you watch any jazz videos, instruction videos, resources, education, like before you found my education? Were you studying stuff?
Yes. Am I allowed to say website names? Because I don't have anything bad to say about these.
Oh, no, that's totally good. Yeah, just trying to hear. I just want to kind of express your journey of what you've been trying and kind of going through.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a couple books by, I think his name was Bert Lingen. That's where I started off with. And he's just going through all the theory stuff. I had no clue what I was reading, but I just made myself read that. And so that planted the seeds where I kind of had seen things before. And then I started off with Ron Drodo's piano, or it's called keyboardimprov.com. Really, really good stuff. It's really good. That really got my fingers just, like, improvisation is just such a random thing, right? And it's harder to get started than people think. So that kind of got me started with that. And then I also tried piano with Willie.com, which Willie's amazing. His stuff is really, really good. That gave me a lot. A pretty good experience. The cat's open studio. I did some of those, and that's what made me realize I needed a teacher, because they do these guided practice sessions, and you know that really helped me with chord structures and everything like that. And all these guys are great. So this is not intended to be a criticism. It would just be a thing of sometimes I would hear every time I would hear them play a song. After going through a lot of stuff with them, and they'd be doing this, they'd be voicing chords underneath the melody, they'd be adding extensions, they'd be doing little rhythms. Oh, I also did Noah Kelman's. I worked with his program. Noah's a genius, man. That guy's really great. But they would they all of them are great teachers, but they would play their songs or play like a chord progression. They'd be doing these things, and I'd be like, "Wait a minute, you didn't teach me how to do that. I'm missing that, you know." And I felt a little bit stupid. It was like, was I just supposed to figure that out on my own? And my big thing, and this is probably being an accountant, is I actually want to learn how to do it correctly. Like I want somebody to audit my progress so I'm not doing things wrong. So I got good experience from them, but then there would be holes in all of the things that they were teaching, in my opinion, and nothing against those guys. So that's when I came to yours, and you filled in all the blanks, and it was perfect. So in short, I didn't come to you a complete novice, but I did come to you without formally knowing how to do the things that you taught.
Totally. And I think a lot of students, you know, in the jazz piano profession, or I guess journey, like yourself, you know, they take on the same kind of route. You know, they kind of dabble in different educational styles, like looking for a teacher, looking for what fits them best. Noah Kelman has done some master classes for me in the Last Accelerator program. He's awesome. Open Studio Network, obviously, they're awesome. I always support all the other educators and things like that. So, you know, we're all just trying to help as much as possible. What was it about the video that you found from me that really resonated with you?
It was the fact that you taught everything. You didn't leave anything out. I mean, I think the thing with great piano players such as yourself, such as Noah Kelman, such as Willie, such as the dude, man, I can't remember the dude's name on Open Jazz Studio, but all those guys are, there's Adam, and then there's the dude who's bald like we are. Oh my God, that dude is amazing. And the thing that I think that some teachers struggle with from the perspective of a student is they're so good, they forget that some of us just need everything filled in for us. And so what resonated with me for your videos, it was actually when I went through your process, you had everything that you played at the end of it. This is what resonated with me. When you would play the examples at the end, everything that you did, you had taught us how to do. You had explained how to do. And it was on the student at that point to make sure they were doing what you said. But it was the fact that everything you played, there were no holes in it. It's like he literally has shown us how to do everything that he did. So that's what resonated with me the most, I think, for yours.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that. Yeah. I think that's, I literally felt those things like growing up, trying to learn jazz piano. Like I felt the same thing. Like one of my teachers would kind of just sit down and like play a lot. Mm-hmm. I'd have no idea what they were doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of my goals with all my students is really to try and break stuff down and be as like meticulous and sequential about each and every individual step. It's not for everybody, for sure. I know that. But people like yourself and people who are really trying to get to the bottom of the components that kind of make up the sound, it's perfect for, you know? So when you entered into the accelerator program, we started working together. We've been working together. Can you just describe describe your experience when you first came in? Because you're probably like, what's going to happen? How is this going to work? You know?
I didn't have any clue how it was going to work at all. And I remember we talked on Sunday at about 6 o'clock and I always cook. No, it was earlier in the day. I forgot what time of the afternoon it was. And on Sunday, I always cook my dinner for the week. I guess it's called meal prep. And so I did all that and I was going to sit down and watch some anime. But then I looked on my phone and you'd already given me a lesson plan. I was like, wait, and I had to email you. I was like, we're starting already? The program doesn't start for 2 months. And I remember that was just, this is where it gets weird. That just made me feel so good because it was like, I'm actually being held accountable. And you gave me three things. It was chord work, voicing work. It was improv work and it was tune work. And you told me exactly what I need to work on for that week and told me exactly what I'd be expected to return. And that was perfect because it was like that meant that Sunday night and every night of the week, I knew exactly what I had to work on. I knew exactly what I had to perfect. And it just kept me focused on these specific things. And, you know, that was an amazing experience, just to kind of to quickly let you know how I've been doing it differently. When I was taking your course without your supervision, you know, I'd go through your levels and you would have each level would have five or six things that you'd want us to work on. And I'd say, yeah, sure, let me just get through this in a week. And I would just only work on like one or two things and skip the other stuff. So it was good that you're actually holding me accountable with the lesson plan. So that for me, that experience alone was what made it, what really helped me focus and practice better.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of students kind of were in the same position as you. I tried to express that pretty clearly. I always try to express all the expectations and details, but like a lot of students were like, oh man, we're starting now? Wait, what's going on, right? So yeah, the program started in September, but we had a bunch of time that we worked together previously before the program, because that was like bonus time, because you signed up so early, which was awesome. Like right when the doors opened for the program, you were like, all right, I'm in. You signed up like probably on the first day or something like that, close to it.
Man, I literally set my alarm clock because I was worried that because it's such a good deal. I'm surprised people, I thought that all those spots would fill up within like 30 minutes. Like it was a class that everybody wanted to take, like at Ohio State or, you know, at college or something. So I set my alarm and woke up and signed up immediately as soon as that opened up, man. So yeah. And it was a blessing. Yeah. For you to start early and give me stuff like that, I almost feel like I feel like I'm stealing from you a bit, man.
That's great. Now let me ask you a question. Did you have any hesitancies or doubts about the learning process because of the way that I was going to be reviewing your performances? And I don't want to say what I do, most people might not know, but if you can describe the process of how we work together privately, and then let me know if you were kind of going into it, if you were kind of like unsure about if it could actually work. Right? Because a lot of students are like, well, I need live lessons. I need a teacher to sit there, watch me play, listen to me play. That's really the only way that I'm going to get better, right? But obviously, that's not how you and I work together, Mike. That's not how I work together with the students inside the program. So can you just answer those two questions, kind of describe the experience of how we work together?
Yeah, so I think the key was, first of all, I just trusted the process. And I know this is difficult for a lot of people to understand. My father's an educator, so I just always say, you got to trust the teacher, especially if you're paying money to sign up for it. And it's obviously something about that teacher that made you say, okay, I want to work with this person. You gotta trust the teacher. So I just put complete trust that you're telling me everything that I need to know, right? So that I just have to say that is gotta trust the process. And I say that, sorry, this is a complete digression, because Willie used to always say in his program, he said, if you don't trust my process, then just go work with somebody else. And he wouldn't say it in a mean way. So I just have to say that. I know that's a big thing for instructors like yourself. They gotta trust with. So in terms of the way we work together, I remember you put me on the spot when we first talked and said, play, you know, improvise for me, play a tune, you know, play your voicings and stuff like that. So you immediately made an assessment of where I was with everything after hearing me play just for a few minutes. And when you assign the things that I needed to work on, I knew it's like, okay, well, he heard me play, so he knows what I need to work on. So, you know, let me make sure that I didn't feel like I played well. So let me make sure I can do these things really well by the end of the week. So you would give me a video for the lesson plan. You would explain what I needed to do. You would do the examples and stuff like that. And then that let me know what I need to work on during the week. And then, you know, I'm sorry if I'm losing myself in the response. And then I record, you know, on Sunday, I record the assignment, you know, where I am with it. And I send that over to you. And then the next day you react to what I sent in. You tell me what I did well. You tell me what I didn't do well. I can tell that you listen to it meticulously because you tell me things that I'm doing that I didn't even realize I was doing. And I say, oh, you know, yeah, he caught me on that. For me, it works to not actually have to play in front of you all the time because that gives me all week to just really work on things and get it right. And then, you know, when I'm shooting, when I'm doing the videos to give it back to you, yeah, it's a little bit unnerving, but, you know, it does actually give me a chance to work with, make sure I'm submitting the right thing to you and be pretty comfortable when doing it so that you're actually seeing me at the best that I can be at that point in time, if that makes sense. And totally. I don't know. It's a big question at all.
No, that's great. That's great. It's fantastic. Had you done any kind of like correspondence work with any instructors or educational activities like that in the past?
No, never. This is the first time, man. This is really the first time.
And how do you feel about the process now after being in it for, you know, about 10-ish weeks?
Dude, I'm excited. I feel like I have a long way to go, but I really feel great about the progress I made. Like the voicings, for instance, like the rootless voicings. I remember when I would learn a song in the past, I would just memorize the sequence of rootless voicings. But the way you drill those into us, it's extremely boring to work on and practice. But the way you drill it in, it's just like when I see an E flat 7, it's like, boom, I have like, how many different, like 8 different ways to play it now that you know, that we've just gone through so far, and my hand just goes right to it. So, you know, it's just stuff like that. I feel great about it, man. It's amazing. I do feel like a magician now, man. It's just like, wow, I can do that now. No trouble. So
that's great. Cool. Well, what I'm going to do now, I think that's enough chit chat. I'm going to play one of the first video submissions. Like you said, for everyone listening, all my students and Mike, they submit videos to me via Flipgrid, this free software, which allows them to record themselves. And I think there's a lot of benefits for students doing that actually educationally, because, you know, when I had private lessons, like I could get away with a lot of stuff in my lessons. You know, like I could play something and be like, hey, what was that thing that you thought you were? And then my teacher would sit down and I wouldn't even have to play for him. You know, students are like weasels, man. We can swiggle out of anything. Like so recording the videos, like this process, it's like you've either practiced or you haven't, right? It's like, yeah, exactly. You either record this video or you can't. And mm-hmm. You still got to do it anyway. Like, you know, I still ask for students to record them, even if they haven't practiced that much, just because I want them to get in the habit of submitting something. But, you know, that's just a funny thing. So I think there's a lot of benefits. So Mike, this is the first, one of the first submissions that you shared with me. I'm going to share my screen right now.
Oh man, this is going to be painful.
Can you see my screen right now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So this is I'm getting sentimental over you. And do you remember the first strategies that you were working on here? This was a while back though, you know, this is July 16th.
Man. What were we doing then? I think we were just,
this is like your first or second lesson plan.
I think this was the first. I think you had me on at the first lesson plan, because I remember being, that's what really excited me the most, was like, oh man, Thelonious plays the song, man. I get to try to be like Thelonious. And I think the first thing we did was, I feel like it was shells in the left hand, you know, root shells in the left hand and just the melody alone in the right hand. I don't know if we were splitting up the shells in the hands yet.
I think it's close. Yeah, I think it's close. I think it's, I think it's shells underneath your right hand. Underneath the right hand melody, but your left hand also had a shell as well.
I got you.
So I think it's like two shells under the melody in your right hand and then one shell in your left hand. But let's listen to this and check it out.
And the sound's really bad.
Thank you. You're like, all right, I'm done. That was awesome. And I got to say, that's so funny. You know, usually when students make mistakes, they're like, oh, shoot, or oh, darn it. Like, I love your tendencies where you're like, come on, come on. Like, try to pump yourself up. Like, come on, man, come on.
It's a little mistake.
Give us a little insight into, like, what that first performance was like for you. Like, what were you focused on? Like, you know, like, how did you feel in that moment trying to, like, play a ballad like that?
Man, it was nerve-wracking. Man, that was the first time I had played one on camera. I feel like I did, like, a whole bunch of takes of that one too, just because it's you know, you're just conscious with that. It's different than playing in front of a person, but still, you have a camera on you, and it's like, wow, every single move is going to be picked up. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking. But this is, like you said before, right before this, it's you either know it or you don't. And this is where practicing all during the week comes into play, because it's like, well, you know, at least I did everything that he asked me to work on. So if it sucks, you know, then that just means I have a long way to go. But at least I'm showing him that I'm making an effort. So.
Yeah, totally. And how does that sound to you? Like, in your vision, based on your goal and what we talked about as far as, like, playing, I mean, you have a lot of ambitions and we're working on a lot of different things. I mean, the ballad, we're just skimming the surface of what you're starting to get into. We'll talk about that more later. You know, you're doing a lot of improv work as well, but, like, how does that performance of a ballad, like, sound to you listening back?
You know, it sounded better than I thought it. I was a little bit concerned of how it would sound, but
That's what I was hoping you would say.
Yeah,
keep going though.
Yeah, no, it does. It sounded okay. It sounded okay. And I think it sounded. Remember the week before I tried playing, I forgot what ballad it was for you, and I kept stumbling through it because I didn't know what I wanted to do, because I was trying to just throw everything in there that I learned from you, without actually practicing it correctly. So I think the reason why that sounded better than it did was because you told me exactly, okay, play it this way. You're gonna play you're gonna split the roots between the two hands. I'm sorry, split the shells between the two hands and just play the root in the left hand along with that. So yeah, it sounded better than I thought it would, because it was focused on just what I learned.
Totally. And believe it or not, like you just said, listening back to that, most students want, like, that is, that's, they want that, that's doesn't, that sounds great, you know? And, like, most students would, like, give a left arm to be able to play something like that. Even though it's simple, it sounds great. And I think what you touched upon is really, like, an amazing point that I just want to dive into for a second. Why was it that you like, when you did play ballads beforehand and when you played the ballad for me, why do you think it was you couldn't do that in the video?
I think it was because I hadn't drilled the stuff, right? Like, if you start off with one of the first steps is telling us, okay, play the root in the left hand and then split the shells between the left and right hand. And I feel like that step is, it seems to be so easy. I just breeze right through that and I skip straight to the harder stuff that you're doing without mastering that. So
this is when you were in the course you're talking about, right?
In
when
the course, yes.
Yeah. So in the self-study area before you were actually having me as an instructor, because all the stuff that I'm teaching you right now is in JPS, right? Mm-hmm. It's in the self-study area, the membership and stuff like that. But like you said, you were like, okay, I got that. But then you just kind of kept going, right?
Yeah, and students are weasels, like you said, and I was being a weasel to myself. So I would try to, when I would try to play ballads before, I would be trying to do all these tritones and secondary dominance and all that, but I had not mastered that simple step that we just went through, which was just, you know, you got to do this first before you do anything else. So when I would try to play ballads before, I'd be trying to do all this fancy stuff and I wouldn't even be able to keep it in time. And I wouldn't even know what chords to play in my fingers because I hadn't mastered the basic things that I needed to play in the first place.
Did you feel like for this video and like when we first started working together, did you feel less lost? Like, did you feel kind of like lost before as far as like what the plan of attack was or the approach to actually playing? Like, yeah. Much more secure and like clear about what to do in these initial recordings?
Yeah, it was. And I think what, in my opinion, what maybe a lot of students struggle with, what I struggle with is, like you said, that sounded okay, what we just listened to. A lot of people were like, well, it's jazz. I want to be able to play all the complicated stuff. And we can't appreciate the simplicity of the basic stuff. So having that plan of attack where it's like, okay, this is all you need to do. This is all you need to master. That just best things to focus on. It's like, oh yeah, I can master this. And you work on that and you get it good enough to record and play like that. So yeah, having a plan of attack, like you said.
Cool. All right, let's jump forward now. And let's go to your latest submission. Can you see my screen okay now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this will be
yeah, sorry, I was supposed to record Getting Sentimental Over You this last week. I got stuck in another song, so this is a different song.
Right. So this is My Foolish Heart. That's okay. It's a different song. But this is now like give or take, you know, we were kind of working on and off on different concepts and improv. So it's about 10 weeks or so, I would say. Even though the dates are a little bit longer, like we kind of would deviate and work on a couple things. So I think in total, like just purely ballad focused education, this is about 10-ish weeks now since that, or maybe 11, give or take. But here is My Foolish Heart. Yeah, so here we go. Whoops, actually, sorry, one sec. Let me do this again. I want to make sure I click the share sound. Oh, it's already clicked. Okay, great. Just wanted to make sure. Here we go. All right, let's back this up. Yeah.
Done another take on there.
Amazing, amazing. Oh man. So, you know, that's like, there's things to this day, like that you are playing in that arrangement and even a couple weeks ago that I have never played. Like there's some movements in there I've never done before and they sound fantastic. Can you just tell like the listeners, like what's going on here? Like, what are you on to now? Like what's happening? Cause this is like a drastic performance change than what we just listened to.
Man, you know what? I hate this isn't going to be a really good answer. I don't even know, man. I have all these tools now and it's just like,
describe some of the tools you're working with though. Like what are you thinking about what are you trying to work in on that, in that particular arrangement? Like what was it that we're working on?
For that one, we were working in the flat nines on the dominants. We were keeping the rhythm going, you know, holding the rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an intro and outro. You know, it was, you showed me different ways to, depending on what degree of the scale the melody note is on the right hand, you can voice it a certain way. You can play the rootless voicing along with the root note in the left hand. It's just what I'm saying. Like, there's so many things. It's not a good answer. I don't really have to think too much, right? It's like, there's
one theory concept I'm trying to get you to say. What was that one theory reharm concept you were working on though?
It wasn't tritones, was it?
No, it's the new one, right?
Shoot, man, I'm sorry.
it's all good.
It's not the flat nine, is it? Not the flat nine over the dominant.
Different one.
Shoot. What did we do? Suspended, the sus chord.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, man, dude, those are game changers. I'm doing them so much now, I don't even think about it anymore. Yeah. Man, those are game changers.
Yeah.
No,
we don't have time, but like, I would love, yeah. Even if you are like, when you listen back to the, so yeah, once you got the tune down, you're playing it well. We started moving on to these theory concepts, right? So the tritone substitution, your sus chords and things like that. And so that particular arrangement, this is what I'm talking about. So you now have tools that you're freely using and creating movements out of that I have never played before over that particular tune. Right? Because you have the freedom to do this now and make your own choices. Mm-hmm. Right? And so like some of those sus chords you're using, the tritones in combination with the sus chord, like it sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's the stuff that's kind of happening. That's really.
Yeah. And to piggyback. Yeah. Sorry. I forgot all about the sus. And because you said, you know, when you're playing this, you know, using the tools you already have, try to work in the sus chords. It's like, all right, well, then you're looking at each dominant chord, or each chord leading up to a dominant chord. And like, can I sneak in a sus chord here? So, yeah, that's what kind of goes through my mind the first time. But it's like I said, after you kind of drill that so many times using the process that we go through, you almost don't even think about it, man. It just makes sense to put it there. So it's awesome. Beautiful. Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a sec before we wrap up here. So first off, how much are you practicing on a weekly basis? To like, if a student wants to experience the same amount of progress that you have in the past 2.5 months, like how much are you practicing? Based on my lesson plans, honest. I know this is an interview with your teacher, but just be completely honest, right?
So I make sure there's some nights I'm exhausted after work. I make sure I get at least 30 to 45 minutes in. But that's on a bad night. I try to make sure I practice at least an hour and a half to 2 hours. On a weeknight. Friday, I sometimes give myself the night off because I drink that beer and eat wing stop, and it's like, man, I don't feel like doing nothing.
Yeah.
So that's my cheat day, right, to put it in gym terms. But then Saturday, you know, the day before the submission, that's where I try to make myself practice at least 2 to 3 hours, right, sometimes even 4 or 5 hours. So I always try to get that one day out of the week where I just sit down and do it, because I always say the most difficult thing is to make yourself sit down at the piano to practice. But what's even more difficult than that is making yourself get up once you get into it. So,
yes, yeah. True. That's so true. Like just even sitting down at the piano, once you get into it, you're like, oh, this is so much fun. And then how are the practice sessions going for you? Like, I mean, the stuff I'm giving you, I always like to say on the podcast, I don't like to paint a false reality. It's not like fun stuff. Like a lot of the drills and work that you've got had to do to get yourself to the point that we're at, like the stuff's fun now. Like we're diving into sus chords, flat nine, tritones. You're like, this is the stuff I wanted to learn off the bat. But like what I gave you to get you here was like, it was pretty tedious, right?
It was tedious, but I think, and hopefully people are hip to this, man. iReal Pro, you have us do stuff on iReal Pro. That makes it a little bit better because you're actually playing. It feels like you're comping behind somebody. So yeah, but it is tedious, right? Like that's the first maybe 30 minutes of practice, depending on how difficult or new the concept is. I make myself do the tedious stuff. But then I also try to make it fun, right? You do the iReal Pro. I throw a little comping patterns in there while I'm practicing just to get it down. So, but yeah, you're right. It is tedious at first.
Yeah, so. Yeah, at first. And I remember kind of one of your earlier video submissions, like you were doing a comping, like rhythmic thing that I hadn't told you to do. And I was like, Mike, you sound great, my man, but I just want you to play whole notes. Just play whole notes. And you must have been like, oh my God, this is going to get real boring now.
But you know what? It's just like everything else, though. Suddenly that became a new challenge. And it's like, okay, how good can I make these whole notes sound? So that happened to do it that way. It's weird, this the human mind. It's like because he told me to do it this way and gave me something to do and said, you have to fulfill it this way. That actually is like, okay, let me see if I can impress them with my whole notes. So yeah.
That is a fantastic perspective. That is great, man. That's awesome. Yeah. If students, yeah, taking a direction and trying to just run with it is in the best possible way. That's so awesome. Would you say on a scale to 10, how disciplined of a person are you?
I put myself honestly probably a 6 or a 7. But for piano, I would say a 6 or a 7.
Cool.
But this course, doing things this way, I feel like you have to be like a 9 or a 10 so that you don't make an ass out of yourself with the submissions, right? Sorry for the language, but I want to make sure submission time, what keeps me disciplined for this is I don't want to take 2 hours to get the submission in because I have to keep redoing it. So I want it to be easy to do that. And I actually want to make sure it's good for selfish reasons because it's like, all right, I want to move on and learn some more stuff. So let me make sure he doesn't make me return to this. So I'm not a very disciplined person, but in this course, because of the way we're doing things, it makes me want to make sure I'm doing things correctly so that we can move on and so that my time is used most efficiently, if that makes sense.
Totally. That's awesome. And a lot of students have trouble, you know, with a lot of the materials that I've given you because of what we just talked about. You know, they're not that fun. They can't really see how it's going to relate to the overall picture or like the amount of the progress or the goal that they want to get to. So how did you tackle those things? Like when you had, I'm sure you had doubts come up, you haven't really iterated that much, but like when you were kind of going through the process in the beginning, you were like, man, is this really going to get me to the place that I want to be at? Like, were there things that you told yourself that you were just like, I don't know, like what helped you through those moments? Did you have those moments? Were you feeling those things?
I feel like what made it easier for me to just trust your process was because I had seen the way you taught things in your regular jazz piano school where it's self-taught. And I remember looking at these things and saying, I just breezed right through this. And if I would have actually spent time on this, I think I would be doing this better. So I think I had kind of my experience might be a bit unique because I saw where you were trying to get to. And I knew that this was a part of the process. And I knew that I've been breezing through it before and not doing what I was supposed to do. So I trusted it because I literally already knew how it was going to fit into everything. I had a good idea of how it was going to fit into everything. So that made it worth working on. So,
that's good. That's good. Awesome. Yeah. And I think that's how a lot of students kind of evolve into wanting or desiring to be in the program, like whether they want more help from me or they just want more accountability, like you said. But like, I think once they kind of see my philosophies through the podcast or the self-study area, then it's like, oh, you know, it seems like this is a pretty step-by-step path to follow to kind of get to your goal. So
yeah, cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. I have one last remaining question. If you were to give out any advice or encouragement, you know, from the spot that you were in, because I know a lot of listeners out there that heard you play that last arrangement of My Foolish Heart, they're probably like, ah, if I could do that, it would change my life. Like, it would change my life. You know, do you have anything to tell those listeners out there?
Dude, you can do it. It's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but if, man, I mean, it's amazing. If you just put in the work and just, you know, put in even just 30 minutes, right? You don't even have to put in that much time. If you just do what Brendan asked you to do, right? It's, you know, each one of those things I was doing, like it seemed like it was something amazing, but it's like, no, that's just what he had me work on 1 week. You work on that, do it the way he tells you to do it. You know, it's yours, right? So trust the process. Even if you don't trust Brendan's teaching style completely, right? He's at least giving you tools that you're going to master if, no matter what. If you just do what you're supposed to do, it's yours, right? You can walk away from Brendan, but he's given you all these tools to do, to use, and you'll. I didn't play amazingly, I don't think, but, you know, you can hear it. I got all that from Brendan. I'm not bringing anything else from external places. I'm not even bringing things I learned from you before. I'm just doing what you taught me to do in that time, right? In the time frame we've been together. So I don't know if I answered the question, but I would just encourage students to trust the process, and man, you'll be able to play stuff like that. Oh, speaking of which, kind of piggybacking off of this, it's my mom's birthday at the end of October, and I'm arranging a piece for her. And hopefully I can, you know, kind of include that in the lesson plans, because I've been working with it and it's like, wow, I'm putting together a cool arrangement for her. So
what tune?
Windmills of Your Mind.
Okay.
Have you played that one before, or is it
like years ago? I honestly don't play it that much, but I know of it for sure.
Yeah. And it's cool because I'm, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say redundant, it's a beautiful harmony, but man, I've got all these little things I can put in to make it sound cool. But, and it's just stuff that we've learned in the past, you know, couple of months. So it's totally worth it. Totally worth it is to just trust the process, man, is my advice.
Cool. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. We'll throw that in your lesson plans. That'd be fun. I would love to hear that. Yeah. Yeah. Get mom all teary-eyed, right?
I can't wait to play, man. I got, like, man, the tools we've learned, man. I can't wait to let you hear it, actually, man. It's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, Mike, I think your story is super inspiring, man. Like, you're such a hard worker, honestly. And, like, the consistent practice and, like, taking what I'm giving you and just working with it and just kind of doing what I say, honestly, and not questioning the process, trusting the process, everything you're saying has literally, like, opened up thousands of doors and opportunities for you to just keep going, you know, keep expressing yourself. I remember what you saying to me as far as one of your goals was, like, I just want to be able to express myself through music, like on the piano. I'll never forget that. Not many people say that. Like, they say, like, oh, I want to be able to improvise real well, or, you know, play solo piano, but you were like, I just want to be able to express myself how I want to through the music, through piano. And you're totally doing that. Like, you're already doing that. And we have 6.5 more months to work, you know, through my mastermind program, stuff like that. So, like, man, we should do a reunion after the mastermind program's over, bring you back on here and talk about your experience again, see where you're at.
Definitely appreciate that.
But hey, thanks so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. This was super fun, and you know, you're just awesome. So thank you again.
You're awesome, man. You're a great teacher, and I appreciate it. Hopefully I'll be competing with you out in the gig game. I'm just kidding.
That'd be awesome. But hey, man, the place that you're at, you could totally think about getting some gigs, you know, playing out and about for sure. Like it's really not long until you could be able to do that, or even play in a band, you know? So that might be something you should think about, but thanks so much. Thanks for everyone listening here today. This was Mike. I'm going to be bringing on more guests in the future as well, so you guys can hear from different stories, different backgrounds, different problems. Every student's different, you know, the way that they're raised in music and the way their journey has gone and what their life is like. Obviously, it leads to a lot of different patterns and improvements in jazz piano struggles, but this was fantastic. And that's it. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you later. Take care.